Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. I sure hope you've been to the show before, and if so, welcome back. If this is your first time to listen, well, welcome to the show. I hope you'll come back again. So this show today, I'm going to talk about a lot of questions that are coming in from my listeners, people who are in relationship dilemmas. So I want to spend my time on that. We're going to be covering a little bit about online dating, why you should talk about marriage to someone you're dating, and how to decide if you can trust someone again after he's done something, well, maybe a little bit suspicious, maybe not entirely on the up and up, but you're not sure. So we're going to talk about that, and also the evergreen topic, why the heck didn't he call me again? I call it an evergreen topic because this one comes up over and over again. I hear it from so many of my listeners and the readers of my books. And so we're going to tackle that one more time about people who don't call back. So today we're going to be covering all these questions about life, love, and relationships. Now, if you have questions and you haven't been there before, be sure and visit singlescoach.com. and send your questions to me so that I can address them, if not today, then in a subsequent show. And I'll also give you an email response. I won't make you wait until the next radio show. So be sure and send me your questions. Anne is writing in with this question. She says, "Hi, Nina. I'm so excited to found your site. I've ordered your books and tapes. Here's my story. I'm 49, very attractive. I've been divorced over 6 years. I tend to get involved with men who don't want to commit. I was in a relationship for 5 years after my divorce, and he just couldn't commit to marriage, which is what I wanted. So I finally left him knowing that he would not change. I've been on more than one internet dating site. I've met some nice men, but nothing has materialized that I've wanted or he has wanted. So I really am trying to do some soul searching, trying to read as much as I can about smart dating and how to pick a partner. I think I would really like to get married again, but it just seems hopeless. So many men are in their 50s are set in their ways and really just want someone to date and do. I tend to move very quickly in relationships, and I am learning that this is not smart. Here's one of my questions. I have a hard time with lying about age. I was communicating with a guy who said he was 58 on the dating website. I looked him up on Facebook and found out he graduated from high school in 67, so he was over 62. I'm not interested in dating someone in their 60s, and I found his lame excuse for lying about his age to be annoying, that he just wanted to be in a different category on the site. Also, I have a hard time stating I'm interested in marriage. That seems to scare so many guys away, and I'm not interested in just marrying anyone. Well, I'm afraid that if I put that out there, that guys will think that's all I want is just to get married to anyone. I also find when I'm on a dating site that I become somewhat obsessed with it and spend way too much time waiting for responses and checking my email. So please give me some feedback about the above questions and concerns." All right. Well, Anne, so appreciate you writing. I hope that you are now reading or have read Temptations of the Single Girl because it will answer a lot of your questions about how to meet a commitment-ready guy, and also addresses the issue of putting it out front that you're interested in marriage. But here's the bottom line. Commitment-ready guys appreciate you declaring that you're in it for marriage and not just for fun and games. As long as you don't put a target on his back. You know what I mean by that? If you put a target on someone's back, it's sort of like the minute you meet them or the minute you get on the first date, you've got him in your crosshairs. You know, he feels it. He feels like, wow, she doesn't even know me, but I can tell she's already thinking that we're going to get married. That's too much pressure. That will scare someone off because nobody wants to be chosen just for the fact that they can fog a mirror or the fact that they drive a nice car and they appear to have some money and financial resources. People don't want to be chosen for those kinds of reasons. They want to be chosen for being loved, for being known, that you really know them, and that now that you really know them, that you love them. That's what they want to be chosen for, and that takes time. So when a woman puts a target on a guy's back on the first or second or third date, that is too much pressure. But it is not putting a target on a guy's back if you simply are honest about what you're looking for. You're saying, look, I'm marriage-minded. I have no idea yet if you are the right person for me or I'm the right person for you. We barely know each other. I have no idea the answer to that question. But I will tell you that if we continue to date, the only reason I'm hanging around and continuing to date is to find out whether or not we are the right couple to get married, because that is what I ultimately want. So if you're not in it for that, if you're just dating to hang out and have a companion and have someone to have sex with and someone to go on trips with, but you are not interested in finding someone to share your life with, well, you got the wrong gal. That's not what I'm up to. And putting that out front is just being honest and transparent. And commitment-ready guys appreciate that. So I don't want you to give up on the possibility of meeting someone. You haven't been single all that long, and I suspect that you've made some mistakes and chosen some people that were not right for you and wasted too much of your time. So now that you're back out there, just know that there are loads of wonderful men out there. It's an ever-changing field of possibilities. For instance, just the other day, one of my friends told me about her widowed friend who is not yet ready to date, but will certainly be on the market in a few months, and he will be married again. He's the marrying type. He's around mid-50s. He's very healthy, nice-looking guy, works out. He's smart and successful and a very loving guy, really, really took care of his wife in her last few months of life, really loved her and cherished her. So he'll be a great, wonderful mate to someone new. So here's the point. You have to stay out there searching, because every day someone new, like this guy, goes online, puts up a profile, and says, I think I'm ready now to date. So you can't give up. Secondly, if you tend to attract men who don't want to commit, then it's probably time to do some inner work to change what you attract. And I think after you read Temptations of the Single Girl, you'll know more about what I mean. So now I want to cover the last piece of your question on the lying. It is troublesome. Studies show that the vast majority of people online lie about something. They lie about their age, their height, their weight. Those are the top three, and then other things. And I don't recommend that you do it, but I really don't blame someone who wants to lie a little bit to put themselves in a different dating category. But you shouldn't do it unless you are willing to take the downside that some people will see you as dishonest. But on the flip side, I recommend you're not too terribly harsh toward those who do in order to put themselves in a different search engine category. The difference between 58 and 62 is not that significant. And on that subject, why wouldn't you date someone in his 60s if he's a good-looking guy, he stays in good shape, he's full of life and energy, and he's attracted to you? Here's the thing. Attraction isn't really a function of age. It's so many other things. And a lot of people limit themselves and their search criteria online thinking, oh, somebody in 60s is going to be old guy. But I'm telling you, there are lots of really attractive men in their 60s out there. So don't limit yourself in your search criteria. Limit things as you meet people and make contact. Do the narrowing down later, not up front. You will rule yourself out of some terrific people if you're not careful. Okay, so I've got another question I'm going to get to. This one is coming from Kay, and Kay wrote in with this. She says, hi, Nina. I recently met a guy from a dating site, and we went out for dinner. We had a good conversation. I thought the date went really well, although there were times when he was crossing his arms and his body language suggested that maybe he was insecure. So anyway, during dinner, he suggested that we go see a movie, and then he changed his mind because he had to work the next day. And when dinner was over, I told him I had a great time. Thanks for dinner. Normally, that's when they say, let's do this again. But that didn't happen. As we drove away, he called me to let me know my brake light was out. Not very romantic, huh? On Tuesday after the dinner on Friday, he texted me to find out how the repair on my light went. And that's the last I've heard from him. This is so confusing to me and has happened to me before. Why don't they call back? How do I position this in my head so it does not ruin my self-esteem and self-confidence? All right, so to answer Kay's question and everybody else who's ever been in this situation, first of all, this guy was really not on the romance track at all. For whatever reason, he figured out pretty early in the date that this was not a love connection. It certainly isn't romantic to talk to a woman about her taillights. That's really not the way to charm someone. So here's what I have to say to you, Kay, and everyone else who's been through this. First of all, I get it. Your ego immediately wants to say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? But the reality is there is nothing wrong with you. Relationships are about connection. And a good relationship is a strong two-way connection that pretty much begins to blossom from the very first date. Sometimes it happens, and sometimes it doesn't. It is a fluke of nature. It has nothing to do with your value or your worth. You know, haven't you ever been on a date with a guy who was obviously drawn to you, attracted to you, but you just didn't feel that spark in return? Was there something wrong with him? Now, you may have told yourself there was something wrong with him, but I would say no. There was nothing wrong with him. It's just that he wasn't right for you. Somebody else would find that same guy attractive. So it works the other way as well. After a date like that, where you felt a connection but he did not, here's what you have to do. You maybe give yourself 30 minutes to feel bad about it, kind of sit there and feel sorry for yourself, and oh, woe is me, why didn't he like me back? You know, kind of like being back in grade school when you liked a boy that didn't like you. But then, it's time really to put your big girl pants on and shake yourself off and say, okay, next. You know, so what? I get it. It was not a love connection. So what? Move on, sister. Just move on. So that is my recommendation. Don't spend time dwelling on the people who don't like you back. It's not worth it. I promise you, there will be somebody out there who is crazy about you. It's true for every human being on the planet. There is truly someone for everyone. I've seen way too much evidence of that over far too many years to not understand that that is how it works. All right, well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more love strategies in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one. But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
Okay, we're back with more love strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. And this morning I'm answering questions from my listeners and from the readers of my books. So now I have a question coming in from Carol, who says, "Dear Nina, I have a boyfriend of 3 years, and I would consider ours a serious and committed relationship. I'm 30 years old, and I recently got a promotion at work that requires a lot of travel. Before my first trip, which was last month, my boyfriend and I entered a trivial but explosive argument that caused us to sever communication for a few days. During the week leading up to my flight, as well as over the several days of my trip, we exchanged only a few terse text messages. When I came back from the trip, we resolved the argument and both acknowledged that it had been silly. We soon fell back into our usual loving relationship. About a week ago, my boyfriend told me he needed to come clean about something. He said that he had developed feelings for someone while I was away, claiming that we had been driven apart by the argument and not seeing each other. He said that the duration of his attraction to this other woman lasted only a short period, after which he scolded himself. He says he feels ashamed of having unfaithful feelings and that I am the only woman he could ever love. I trust what he said, but the fact is that my life requires my being away from him often, sometimes for extended periods of time. In addition, arguments are always present in any relationship, but is it fair to him to have a commitment to me in this situation? Is it wise of me to trust him since his feelings seem so capricious?" All right. This is a sticky situation, so I'm going to see what I can do to address it for you. After 3 years in a serious, committed relationship, you should have a pretty strong feeling one way or the other. You either trust this guy or you don't. And, you know, the real test of trust is that when you're not with someone, you know that they're still thinking about you. If you could roll back the clock before this incident, did you trust him then? Is he basically a good guy? Do you know enough about him and his character to know that he's a good guy, that he's someone who's going to be faithful? Is the only thing that makes you feel less trusting the fact that he was attracted to someone else briefly? And I'm curious about whether or not he acted on those feelings of attraction. Did he spend any time with her? Did he talk on the phone? Was there texting, emails? Did he tell her he was attracted to her? If any of those kind of things were going on, then this is more extensive than I think what he originally shared with you. So if you don't know the answers to those questions, I would certainly recommend that you go back and find out just how extensive this was, because my answer is going to be different to you. If he acted on those feelings, if he was spending time alone with her, if he was talking on the phone with her, if he was texting her, emailing her, if he was telling her he was attracted to her, then you've got, I think, a problem. And the problem is that he really may be in a different place than you are in the relationship, and he may be trying to make himself continue with you, but maybe his heart is not fully in this. Or the other problem is, because if he was acting on it just based on a fight where you didn't communicate very well for a few days, that's not enough of a break to justify him going out there and hooking up with someone else, even though maybe it wasn't a sexual hookup, it was an emotional hookup. And I would say the problem in that case is that he may have a very fragile ego that can't tolerate, you know, having a problem in a relationship. There are men out there who are so emotionally fragile that when they feel like they're not getting all their needs met with one woman, they will immediately turn to another woman. And you certainly don't want to go forward if that is the case. But if we are talking about, if we can take his words at face value, if you check into it and you find out that really all he's confessing is his guilt over having feelings that he didn't act on, man, I think he deserves a pass for that. I don't think that's a big deal. In fact, the very fact that he feels so much remorse about having feelings only tells me he's probably very trustworthy, because he certainly didn't have to confess that. I mean, that's a normal thing. It's one thing to feel something. It's another thing to act on it. And if he felt something but never acted on it, I have to say that's not a big deal. But the fact that he felt so bad about it would tell me that he's probably trustworthy. So I think you have to look at a couple of things, what really transpired, and then what was your history before that? You know, if you didn't feel strongly that you could trust him before this, then this incident is telling you something that you've probably known all along and that you need to take a look at. But if you did trust him and you really do believe he's a good guy and all it was a set of feelings, I think it's time to give him a pass. I think you go forward. I think you focus on what you have together. You build that relationship. Make sure that your communication process is really open. And the other thing is that if you decide to go forward with him, I think one of the issues you have to address is how in the world are you going to handle it when you have an argument, when you have what I call a triggering incident. So you have something happen in a relationship, you become emotionally triggered, and you've got to be able to handle that. This is not a good sign that the two of you would get so triggered that you cut off communication for several days. That's a long time. So I think that is really the bigger issue that you need to address, Carol, is how are we managing ourselves through the inevitable ups and downs if couples do get triggered with one another, but how do we manage ourselves through that? I think that one really deserves being looked into, and get yourself some resources. The third book that I wrote is called Soul Talk, Powerful Positive Communication for a Loving Partnership. It's available on Amazon.com. I really recommend that you get that book and read it together, one chapter at a time, and practice the exercises. I think it might make a big difference for you. All right. One of the websites that I contribute a regular monthly column to is singledadhouse.com. And it's just like it sounds, singledadhouse.com. And it's a website for men who obviously are divorced and who are fathers. And so if you're a divorced dad or you know someone who's a divorced dad, that's a complicated place to be in life. So this website was started by a guy who is, guess what, a single dad and has a sense of a mission and purpose around helping other single dads get their lives together, understand how to parent, how to date, how to balance parenting and dating. And so he asked me to write a regular column for that site, and I do. And this month's question from a reader I thought was one that was very interesting that I wanted to share with you. And here's the question from Martin. Martin writes it and says, "My wife and I have been married for 12 years, and we have two children. 9-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl. We have a difficult, unhappy marriage. There's no outward fighting or drama, and our children may not know there's a problem, but my wife and I rarely have meaningful talks or display affection. We've become essentially roommates. We would like to divorce, but we're worried about the impact on our children. Our marriage isn't completely intolerable. So should we stay together for the kids' benefit, or should we consider our own selfish desires and divorce? So that's a really tough question. And I'm going to see if I can tackle it on a couple of different levels with you. First of all, you are correct to be concerned about your children. There's no question that they will be affected by a divorce. Research shows that children of intact families fare better than children of divorce. They perform better in school. They tend to be physically and emotionally healthier. They're less likely to get involved in drug or alcohol abuse. They're more likely to go to college. They're more successful later in life. On every dimension that you can measure well-being in children, they just do better in an intact, loving family with two people that are married or at least very, very committed for life. So you should think about it, and if there's any way to keep your marriage together, it will pay off big time for your children. But let's talk about that relationship. You know, for most couples who are struggling, there's usually not one big blow-up incident that just, you know, causes your marriage to explode. Instead, there's usually kind of a slow drift into a less and less satisfactory relationship, often because people focus sometimes way too heavily on child rearing and not enough on their marriage. You didn't start out that way. You know, you obviously loved one another enough at one time to marry and have two children. And so now you're questioning what to do, that your marriage has deteriorated. But I think the framing of your question is rather limiting. And I'd like to help you expand the framing as you consider what to do. First of all, ask a better question. And I think this is a better one. How can we turn around this difficult and painful relationship pattern and rekindle the love we once shared? So where there was love there once before, there can be love again, and for the sake of your children, you ought to try. A new way to frame this situation is from the perspective of earning your way out. What that means is you begin with the intention of healing your relationship. You're open to the possibility of either rekindling your love or going separate ways, but to do so with grace and dignity after you've done the work. So with that intention, you get a really good therapist who will coach you in how to communicate effectively, which is by far the biggest issue when marriages are going bad. The communication process will help you address your issues in a respectful way and also with greater emotional connection. And earning your way out means that you close the door on divorce while you go through marriage counseling. You don't see other people. You don't make a unilateral decision to move on. You trust the process to reveal whether or not you can resolve the issues you have. And ultimately, you make the decision together about whether you're going to stay together or whether you're going to move on. You do your best to apologize and forgive one another. Basically, you're working toward healing. Now, I have seen couples who were convinced that their marriage was over, that there was no possibility that they would ever stay together, let alone be happy together, but found their way back to the love they once shared. Way too many couples throw in the towel too soon, only to find out later that single life is very difficult when you're raising children. Co-parenting is difficult. All the issues are difficult. So if you can make a commitment to work on your relationship for a considerable period of time before you make that decision, I think it will give you and your children a very powerful platform from which to heal and move forward in the best possible way. And then if you do decide a divorce, do use collaborative family attorneys. They will support the healing work that you have done. They will, rather than taking it apart like standard litigious attorneys do. So I hope that will help you with your relationship. That's all for today with Love Strategies. I hope you will be back for another show. This is Nina Atwood signing off for today.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.